You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Stand with me. Stand as we read, as I read those two verses, three verses. Two from the 2 Corinthians 9 and 9, King James Amplified, and then Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2. And to read 2 Corinthians 9 and 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. That's the part I want you to focus on there. His righteousness endures forever. The Amplified, that verse says, as it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. Saying his giving is going to go on and endure forever. And then Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2. Many of us know these scriptures. Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Now, Father, bless this word. Open up our ears. Open up our hearts. Let the entrance of your word bring light. And I thank you that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So as a result of us having more revelation of your word, more revelation of the revelation of seed, time, and harvest, we set ourselves up for greater manifestation. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So last week we started talking from the subject, it's in your seed. It's in the seed. God created everything. He created the herb, the earth-yielding seed. And we lost off from Genesis. He said, whose seed is in itself. One of the principles we told you that God created everything, but he created everything one time. Okay, he created everything, but he created everything one time. And after he created it, he told us, now, if you want to see that increase, if you want more of the same, you have to take the seed out of what I created and put it in ground that you can continue to see harvest, fertility, and reproduction, and fruit continue to increase in your life. That works in the natural, that works spiritual. We showed you that there's different types of seed. We talked about just a regular vegetation seed of just come from plants and agriculture seed. We talked about seed as the offspring of men and of mammals and of animals. We even talked about a do-good seed, good deed seed, where he says, the scripture says that whatever a man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Both bond and free. In other words, what you make happen, do for someone else, God will do for you. You, what you do, sowing seed in good deeds, you'll reap a harvest. Okay? And then we ended up talking about financial seed. Financial seed, based upon the scripture here from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, we see this is not a stretch. This is not just application. This is interpretation of the scripture where Paul is receiving an offering and he's encouraging them to be generous in their giving because he says, I want you to understand this. He said, get your attitude right. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. And then he's talked about all that's in their seed. And he said, and he encourages them. Now, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap how? Sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. He says, so determine how you want to give based upon the principles of how you want to receive. And so as we go further today, as we look at that scripture from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and verse 9, it talks about in the same context, he's encouraging them to give and telling what God's going to do and how God's going to cause all grace to abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things. I believe that's verse 8. And then he goes on saying, the reason why is because it's already written in scripture that he has dispersed, the giver has dispersed abroad and given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. And that is really a quote from Psalms 112 that I'm going to show you later. He's saying, because you give, that your righteousness, in this case righteousness is your giving, endures forever or has lasting results. Is going to last and cause things to happen a long time from now. I've always been a person who thought about the future. I people used to tell me, I didn't even understand when people said it to me as a young man, even as a boy and as an adolescent in my 20s, that I was wise beyond my years. One of the reasons why I know I was is because as a teenager, I used to study the Proverbs. Every day I read the Proverbs. All the Proverbs are is wise sayings from a man of experience trying to teach his sons and daughters how to live and how to have God's best. And so there's principles that are just part of me that I've read as a teenager that I internalized from Proverbs, wise sayings about how to be successful in life. And so I've always thought about how this connects with that. Even when I would take a job, okay, even though I just needed money, I would think, now, if I take this job, how does this connect with the rest of my life? I'm a minister. I got to be at church. How does this? And see, some people, it ain't about this. This is about money right now. No. This got to fit in with my calling. Has to fit in with purpose. And so I've always been thinking about the future. When I dated a girl, okay, I don't care how fine she was. Just because she a cute don't mean she's going to make a good wife. And at one point, y'all, I had a reputation as a player. I know you can't imagine that. Okay? I had a reputation as a player. No, seriously, because, see, I didn't waste my time. I knew dating people was an interview process. And when I saw you weren't a good candidate for the job, I probably had already saw somebody who I thought might be. So let me go try that one out. This interview was at the top of... resumes at the top of the list, but there was somebody else over there. Let me look at their application. Okay? And so I would move on. I would move on quick. And there was one time I was dating this girl, and I didn't really think that much about the future. I told y'all about that. And Bishop Bailey came to me. He waited up. We used to have church, and then after church on Friday night, go to heaven. All we did was go to a restaurant. That's all we could do. And I almost snuck and went bowling because Mother Bailey said, you need to find something else to do with your time. Anyway. And so I came back to house after Friday night and after going to the restaurant after church, and Bishop Bailey was sitting there waiting for me. And he said, now, you know, I ain't never said nothing by any little girls you've been dating. He said, but you need to think about this one. He said, because she come from a long line of people who elevator don't go all the way to the top. He said, now, you know, I don't say nothing about your girlfriends. But this one here, you need to think and look around her family. And she was so cute, I didn't look at her family. And then when I got to think about it, I said, oh. Really, it was all kinds of things. And so you got to think about the future. That's the point I'm making there. You always have to be, you can't just get caught up in relationships and people being cute and what's it doing for you right now. You have to think about the future. Everybody say longevity. So when I'm talking about the future, I'm always thinking about longevity. Okay? If we start this, how are we going to sustain this? You know, we have people in the past, say people gotten mad. They may have even left the church. I don't know. But sometimes people have come and, who part of our ministry, been here, been giving it, and then they may hit a rough spot in their life. They need help with benevolence, and there's a committee that looks over that, the application, all that. You got to qualify and all that. And it's real hard. It's real hard to qualify. Okay? Anyway. but have people come, and sometimes we would say, no, we're not going to give you the money to stay in this house. We're not going to give you the money to stay in this apartment. Well, why? We're looking at your income here and look at your expenses. We can give it to you this month. What you going to do next month? What you going to do the month after that? Now, what we're going to help you do is move and find some place that will be within your means. And people don't want to do that. Because when people think crisis, all they think about is the moment. You got to be thinking about how to eliminate crisis. You have to think about longevity. You can't go around, come on now. And unfortunately, some of our church histories kind of maintain that kind of thinking where we're always talking about down to your last dime. He'll step right in on time. And nobody starts saying, stop getting down to your last dime. Your life don't have to be one constant crisis. Amen. And so God wants to bless you in a way that has longevity, not just for today, but that's going to bring dividends throughout the rest of your life. And so I want to talk about the mini day seed. the many day seed, the seed that's going to produce longevity of harvest. We see here, his righteousness endures forever. We see from the Amplified, their benevolence will go on and endure forever. And then we see in Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2, cast your bread upon the water, you'll find it when? After many days. In other words, it may not be an instant harvest. Now, if you got instant need, then you need instant harvest. But sometimes you give it not because you got a crisis today. Your rent's paid. Your mortgage paid. You got food. You're not in a crisis situation. And you should not only give just because you want a harvest from crisis. I want to encourage you to believe God that if you have no crisis and no need, your seed still going to go into your future and produce dividends for you in years to come. Everybody say the many day seed. So I want you to understand, the scripture says here, cast your bread upon the waters. You'll find after many days, there is a longevity seed. There is a longevity seed. A seed that does not produce instant harvest, but is going to come up in years to come. I gave an example last week that when I was the church that we were in prior to moving here to South Carolina, where I went to the church as the minister of music, okay, and I was being paid $100 a week. And then I got promoted to assistant pastor, and they told me they're going to give me $75 a week. Someone said, I said what I said. I got promoted and went from 100 to 75. Some of y'all will quit your job. Said, you can't count. This ain't no promotion, okay? And nothing I did in ministry was ever for money anyway. I didn't know what it was to be paid for ministry. And I didn't even know that people could really... Come on, my back, I didn't really know that people could make a living in ministry, okay? Forget being rich. I mean, my background, and so I'm telling you, I came out of a background that if you wanted to try receive a real offering, a good offering for the preacher, you tell the people, let's give to the man of God, woman of God, because they are full-time in ministry. And the church would go like, oh. Because in other words, they're full-time in ministry. You know what that means? That means they're struggling. And so instead of you giving $5, give $6. that was the mentality. And so I never did anything for money. But anyway, in about 3 years, they never gave me the $75. I didn't say anything. It bothered me just because they said it. I didn't need the money. I was doing well. You know, my job, I was getting promoted. Things were moving and our needs were met. And so, but never gave me the $75. When we left, and I went, and the Lord called me to full-time ministry, I told my pastor there, I said, the Lord told me to do nothing else. We're full-time in ministry now. He knew my family. He knew we have, you know, Marcia had not worked outside the home in 8 years. We have 4 children, and now I'm full-time in ministry with no income. Went from $65,000 a year, approximately what I was making, down to nothing and literally living by faith. And so he said, well, we're going to help you. And the first month, they sent us $3,000. The second month, they sent us $2,000. And the third month, they sent us $1,000. And so they sent us $6,000 over a three-month period to help sustain us. I went back and did the math. When I went and did the math, the $6,000 that they gave us over that three-month period was what I would have gotten if they paid me the $75. Are you with me here? But I didn't need it then. And I didn't know that good deed seed I was sowing was for many days. I didn't need it then. I needed it when we were full-time in ministry. And what I'm telling you is that there's some seed you think is not producing harvest, but it's going to come up later. Look, somebody say, it's going to come up. It's going to come up. And I said that to encourage you because I got off track when I was talking about the Perrys, okay? But I'm saying the Perrys came here giving, okay? I didn't teach them giving. They already knew giving, okay? And some of y'all, you already knew giving and you gave, but some of you, watch this, you gave in ministries that had scandal. You gave in ministries where the pastor did this and did that. And you think you have forfeited that seed. Oh, come on now. I'm telling you that you can still claim and squeeze that seed for a present day harvest. Come on now. Because you reap what you sow, not always where you sow. And if you give, you give as unto the Lord, not as unto a man. You know, I thought about people who get offended. You know, people, they get offended with the church. I ain't coming to the church no more. I was mentioning this to Pastor Marsh yesterday. I get offended with the church. I get offended with the man of God, woman of God. So I'm not giving anymore. And I'm not doing this anymore. You're hurting yourself. You need to understand, you're not giving to the man. You need to give as unto the Lord. Now, I don't steal any money. I got a CPA on my staff, okay, who get on our nerves now. She does. She gets on our nerves, but I thank God it ain't my last one. Gotta have this, gotta have that, cross this. And we're part of, our finances are audited every year by outside accounting firm. Then we have to send our records to the bank. And then we have to, and part of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. So we do a lot of things, okay? But some people, they're concerned, what are they doing with the money? Is the preacher stealing the money and all that? You need to understand, if he was, if you do what was right before God, your blessing won't come from God. And so you don't stop working principles because you get offended with a man. You don't stop working principles because you're offended with an individual or organization. Work the principles. Work the principles no matter what people say, what people do. Work the principles. Amen. Something happened to me recently, and I sowed his regular seed, and I started thinking about that, and my mind said, I said, and the Lord said, work the principle. Work, get out of your head. Work the principle. It ain't about the person. It ain't about the organization. It's about what I tell you to do. Because I'm going to talk about a thing. I may talk about that next week. Because when you sow into ministry, you sow into the spirit. Bible said, when you sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh corruption. But when you sow to the spirit, to the anointing that's on that, then you reap from the spirit life. Are y'all with me here? So I want you to understand there's longevity in your seed. Longevity means that it's going to produce harvest and yield fruit for many years to come, first of all. I mean, it can last for many years. But in some cases, longevity seed means it's going to produce harvest and yield fruit many days later. So longevity means from the many days seed that continues to produce harvest over a long period of time. Maybe even years, but in some cases, it means it's going to yield harvest many years from now. Look at 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Paul again is telling Timothy to encourage the people who are rich people, like the members of Right Direction. Let me say, he's talking to rich people, like the members of Right Direction. I told you, one of the brothers in our church, he's been in our church for about a year now. Someone asked him what church he goes to. He said, Right Direction. They said, well, give me a dollar. You go to the rich church. Amen. I have no problem with the reputation of us being a rich church. I'd rather folks say we're the rich church than we're the broke church. We're the poor church. We're the sick church. Come on now. If you're going to call me rich, I receive it. Amen. Amen. I agree with my confession. And so he says, command those, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, those who are rich in this present age. So he ain't talking about rich in faith. He's talking about who naturally got it going on, who their needs are met and they have surplus. He said that they not be, King James says, high-minded. New King James says, haughty. Don't get full of pride and start smelling yourself. Think you all that in a bag of chips. Okay, because you got to lose something. He said, tell them not to trust in uncertain riches because they can be up today and down tomorrow, but rather in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He said, trust God is who as your provider, not your money. Verse 18, he said, tell them to do good that they be rich, not just in money, but in good works. That's that good deed, see, in good works that they're ready to give. That they are willing and and anytime there's a need or God speaks to them, that they promptly respond to, ready to give, willing to share. And then verse 19, he says, because when they do this, they're storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. He said, they may have it going on right now, But the scripture we read earlier from Ecclesiastes 11 and 2 says you don't know what evil is going to be on the earth. He said by them doing that, they're storing up a foundation for the time to come. Many times your seed is not about where you are right now. It's about your time to come. Oh, come on now. Now, should I choose to do that in whatever way it may look at it, okay, I'm closer to what people call retirement years. But I know I've been faithful to God. I know I've been faithful in the house of God. And God going to take care of my time to come. Are you with me here? A good foundation time that they may lay hold on eternal life. And eternal life is not just talking about in heaven. Eternal life starts the moment you receive Jesus. It's the Zoe kind of life. The abundant kind of life with nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking, and walking in victory. Doesn't mean you don't have trials. It don't mean that you don't have trouble, but it means you're winning. Come on, anybody got trials and trouble, but you recognize I'm winning. Oh, devil, if you want a loser, you need to go tax somebody else because I'm winning. You want to fight, I will fight, and I will fight till I win. I do what I got to do, but I ain't about to lose no fight. Pastor Chandler, long before he was Pastor Chandler, he had several fights at school, okay? And the teachers would tell us, you know, but they had zero tolerance. Now, you know, when I was coming along, the teacher would say, well, he did hit him first, you know, and said he didn't start. They don't care now. They got zero tolerance, okay? And so, but they would say about Chandler, the teacher or the assistant principal, whomever, would say, well, he didn't start it, but he sure did finish it. I mean, he didn't start a fight, but if he got in your fight, oh, you got in a fight with the wrong one, because I ain't about to lose no fight. Come on now. Some of y'all, that's the attitude. I'm a friendly person, you know, I try to be at peace and everything, but don't make me fight, because if I fight, I ain't going to lose. I will bite your heel. I do what I got to do. And that's how you got to be when it comes to spiritual warfare. You got to lay hold of eternal life. You got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And so he says, by giving seed, you can lay a foundation against the time to come. Now, in the stock market, they make a distinction between short-term and long-term gains. Short-term gains are realized when you sell a stock, an asset, a mutual fund within 1 year of acquiring or investing it. Long-term gains come from the sale of assets after a period of more than 1 year. And so short-term gains usually are taxed at a higher rate than long-term gains. Long-term gains are often taxed at a lower rate because they're generally acquired through investments made over a longer period of time, which results in a lower tax bracket. So in simple terms, short-term gains are quick profits made over a short period. But long-term gains are earned over a more extended period, which allows for the potential of greater profits, but with a longer waiting period. I'm here to let somebody know the longer you wait, the greater the profits. I know you've been waiting for a long time. That God said, because I'm preparing something big for you. I know it doesn't seem like it's come up right away, but you are in for some long-term gains. Somebody shout, I'm going to have some long-term gains. So the scripture says, cast your bread upon the water, for you shall find it after many days. After many days. He says some things it's not going to produce instantly. It's going to produce after many days. So even in agriculture, now there are some seeds that produce fruit and yield a harvest very quickly. I'm calling that short-term growth seeds. So I did a little research, and the seed that is known to produce the quickest annual harvest, that is the quickest to produce its annual plant, is known, and I have to read this slowly, as the Strenchilla or Schizopetalian tenuifolium. Don't ask me to say it again. But that's a picture of it there, okay? And this plant produces seeds within 40 to 50 days of germination. And it makes it one of the fastest seed-producing plants in the world. This plant is native to Central Asia and is known for its delicate white flowers. And it can be grown in a variety of soil types. It requires minimal care, and it makes making it a popular choice for gardeners who want to have a quick result, and also for children who want to experiment with plant growth, because you know kids can't wait. Are we there yet? And so many times they would use this here for a child to grow and see a quick harvest. Now, so this is known worldwide, universally, as one of the quickest producing plants. However, there are other seeds that may not produce harvest or bear fruit in the short term. They may yield much more fruit over the long term, what I'm calling long-term harvest seeds. These produce seeds after, as the scripture says, after many days. And such is known as the ginkgo biloba tree seed. Many of us, we're familiar with ginkgo. It's supposed to help your mind. Okay, I need to double up. Okay? The ginkgo biloba tree seed is known to require the most time to produce fruit. The ginkgo biloba tree seed can take 20 to 25 years to bear fruit for the first time. One in 40 to 50 days, but the ginkgo biloba might take 20 to 25 years before you see anything. Which means that folks, if they plant it, they've forgotten all about it. They don't even think about it anymore. And so that's what I'm calling the many day seed. It can take up to 50 years or more for the seed to reach full maturity and produce the most fruit. So I'm here to tell somebody who came to church today, just because you don't see harvest today, just because you don't see harvest this week, just because you don't see harvest this month, or just because you don't see harvest this quarter, or just because you don't see harvest this year, or just because you may not even see harvest this decade, doesn't mean you won't see the harvest tomorrow.
If you love our podcast and the impartation you gain from it, we encourage you to become an iChurch member. As an iChurch member, you'll get access to exclusive digital content, as well as an online community and various small group sessions. To find out more, visit rdci.info/iChurch. Connect with us for digital impartation weekly. Join Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marsha Bailey on Clubhouse for Marriage, Faith, and Family Inside Kingdom Business Network on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RDCITV. We stream live services on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Wednesday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies, join us for Manifest on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time.